because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me, because you died and rose again. I'm forgiven, because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me, because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be? You, my King, would die for me. To honor you. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you.
This morning, I'd like to turn your attention to Matthew chapter 14. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to that. Otherwise, just listen to the story, a very familiar story. I have to confess, there was a little bit of a glitch this week, and it was totally my fault. Lori's laughing the big hardest because it affected her somewhat. But I was working from old order worship and changing things around, but I forgot to change the scripture and title in that. And she was working with one scripture and title, and I was working with another. So you don't have a scripture on the screen today, but listen to God's word or follow. Matthew 14, beginning at verse 22. This follows after another one of those great stories where Jesus feeds the 5,000. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come out to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and, beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And God bless his word to us this morning. Please join me in prayer. Father in heaven, we are so thankful and blessed to be able to come here today to worship in freedom, to hear your word. And I ask, Lord, that for each of us, your word, as we've heard it read and we'll hear it preached, Lord, that it will comfort us in those ways we need comforting, and it will convict and challenge us in those ways that we need that. It will draw us to repentance. It will draw us to a confident faith and hope. And it will continue us in that path of walking with you. So be here among us and bless us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we hear this story again, familiar story, we might just think once again, Peter, what were you thinking? Really? A human being walking on the water? That's not normal. Just not normal. Certainly, humans can swim on the water. They can float on the water. They can ski on the water. They can even ski on their feet on the water. Anybody ever try that? In my youthful foolishness, I did, but we didn't have a fast enough boat, so I almost drowned myself. My dad was willing to try it, but it's possible. But take a stroll, just take a stroll out on the water. Peter did it. And in this message, I want us to look at and consider how he did it and some of the other things involved with that. And when we understand how he did it, we learn how to face our own fears. Because that's what caused Peter to sink. He became afraid. And fear is one of those big hindrances in our Christian walk. It's really one of those hindrances in anybody's life, but even in us as Christians. It's most often about the fear of failure, thinking we're going to mess up somehow, and we're inadequate, we're going to show ourselves inadequate. We know there's something we need to change in our lives or something that we are challenged to do. Maybe we're challenging ourselves or somebody else is challenging us, but don't do either of those things because we fear the failure. And when we give in to fear, it leads to a mediocrity or even a defeated life. And the end result is often a lingering unhappiness in our lives. It's interesting here in this story that Jesus did not rebuke Peter for taking that crazy step out of the boat onto the water, but he rebukes him for not staying focused on him with faith. And so as we come to this text, let Jesus teach us a better way to live. Life on this earth, first of all, will never be absent of fear. There's not a one of us here who's never been afraid. Fear is one of those human emotions, and it's a good emotion. In many ways, it protects us. It alerts us to danger. It helps us take caution. It protects us. There are times where that fear really helps us, and we need it. But if we get stuck in fear, and if we deal with unrealistic and irrational fears, those things will hinder us and even destroy us from really living life. In Bible days, the popular belief was that the sea or the lake, it was a big enough lake they called a sea, was considered the home of evil spirits. So a stormy sea meant that those evil spirits were upset. They were stirred up. So the disciples were likely already afraid, having some of that in their influencing them. And so when they saw this figure walking towards them, they no doubt saw it as an evil ghost walking toward them. And certainly the presence of evil, no matter when you're talking in the Bible days or you're talking about today, the presence of evil and all that entails and is a very real fear today. But you see, in this reading, Fear itself isn't the problem. I don't believe fear itself is the problem. I don't believe Jesus rebukes Peter for having the fear, but for succumbing to the fear. He didn't just say, "Don't be afraid," and leave it at that. He said, "Don't be afraid. It is I. That is, I am here." He gave them reason not to fear by his presence. And then after Peter began to sink, he challenges Peter for succumbing to the doubt. I don't think Jesus rebuke, I use the word rebuke, but that's probably a little harsh, but he does confront him about his lack of faith, but as a loving mother, or a loving father, why did you doubt? I'm here. So think this morning with me. What fears are running through your life right now? Most of our fears are based on an insecurity with the unknown and that fear of failure. We are thinking about what might happen or the worst that could happen. Think about all those fears. And we're bringing them here to Jesus this morning. We're coming to this table with all those fears and concerns in our hearts and minds. There's all kinds of fears we could talk about today. There's circumstantial fears, you know, kind of the external things that are going on and that can affect us, but illness and thinking about things that could happen, illness that could cause our death, and potential financial loss, or wondering if our children are safe. We can wonder if our country will be safe or if our religious freedom will stay protected, and we have fears about all those things. And then there's all those internal things that go on inside of us. I was just curious, and I Googled a list of phobias. And, well, there was a name for every kind of phobia you could think of from A to Z. There's claustrophobic. Some of you are maybe claustrophobic, you know, a fear of tight spaces. There's agoraphobic, which is fear of open spaces, meaning you're afraid to go outside your home, the security of your home, or something like that. And then there's ablutophobia. You know what that is? Well, any of you parents have a child that doesn't like to take a bath? You might want to check out if they have ablutophobia, fear of taking a bath. It was in there. There's all kinds of phobias, but there's many other kinds of fears. Youth, whether you're young or whether you're middle-aged adult or older adult, we have fears about what people think of us, how I look or how I act or how I talk. We fear what other people will think. We have fears about, you know, whether I'm going to be a good father or mother. Fear about getting in front of people, a group of people. Fear of failing at our job, so we hold back. We can be afraid to grow spiritually or personally. That is, there might be something, you know, about yourself that is difficult to admit, and then you don't want the pressure or the responsibility to challenge yourself, to work on that, to change, even to invite the Lord's help in that. Maybe we have fears about the future of our church. We're making a big decision today with regards to calling a pastor. And there's always the ministry of the church we're concerned with. And we need to be concerned with that. And we need to take responsibility and serve our church and be interested in its well-being and its future. But we can have fears about those things. We may have a whole list of what ifs and I can'ts. So let's first of all this morning just acknowledge whatever fears we have in our lives, not just sweep them under the rug, but acknowledge those fears, and especially those that are holding us back. See, we are rowing through a rough sea because of evil in the world, because of sin in our own lives, the troubles and unknowns and our own temptations. There will be fear. They'll always be there. But today as well, believe who is also here. Who is also here? not just the fears. For those fears that are sinking us, will we be consumed by the fear, or will we find courage amid the fear? Some do make the choice, stay stuck in drowning in their fears. If we don't challenge ourselves, don't try new ways of serving, remain in an unhealthy pattern of living because it's just too difficult to change. We fear we will fail, or we've tried before and feel like we have failed, and so we just give up. Or you have really, truly forgotten our God and who He is as the one who is more powerful than all our fears, and He's more powerful than the whole world itself. Look who's here. Look who's among us and in our lives. He's right in front of us, and He's among us. He's powerfully present, as He was with Peter. Peter discovered what happens when we take our eyes off Jesus. He succumbed to the fear. He looked down at the wind and the waves, the water, and probably the crazy thing he was doing. And he began to sink in fear. You see, Jesus is present right here and now, and every day in our lives. He's present to help us out of our hurtful and unproductive styles of living. Hasn't God made many promises to us? Remember those. Remember how He has said, I'm an ever-present help. I will never leave you or forsake you. Nothing can separate you from my love. You will never be snatched from my hand. How He promises a home in heaven. You may feel the weight of the world upon you, feeling defeated in fear and despair. But let's lift up our heads to see Jesus every day. He's always there. And as we do so, hear His words, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid, come, come. The one who is with us is the ruler of the universe. The one who could calm the sea. The one who worked His power over our sin and the curse of sin upon this world and this table as we see it this morning. This table speaks to us of the greatness of His love and power to take our punishment of sin upon Himself as He was crucified on the cross, His body broken and His blood shed for us. But He broke the grips of that death, the power of God rising from the grave, proving Himself conqueror over sin and death. This is the Jesus whose word and whose love can be trusted. Peter started out in faith, stepped right out of the boat when he heard Jesus say, come, but he got distracted. His mind and heart got consumed by the circumstances. How often doesn't that happen to us? There's so much to distract us. But he got consumed by the circumstances rather than by consumed by faith in the power of Jesus. But when he began to sink, note this, when he began to sink, he realized his need and he cried out in desperation. Did he say, oh, I'm doomed. I blew it. I'm a complete failure. No, that's not the words that came out of his mouth. He didn't just give up and continue to sink, but he called out, Lord, save me. There was an interesting comment in regards to that statement in a commentary I was looking at, and it says this, in the moment of most dire human need, there is but one cry, just as there is but one source of salvation.
Lord, save me.
And so to the Christian here, and to the person who may be on the fence a little bit regarding Jesus and the Christian life, and to the person who has really up to this point in your life just tuned out Jesus, I have a question for each of us. How will you respond today to the powerful presence of Jesus who is here and who is present in your life daily? And once you accept Jesus as Savior and Lord, His presence produces both comfort and courage in any fear or circumstance. Just like the Lord was with Joshua. Remember, after he took leadership from Moses after he died, and they were on the edge to enter the promised land, knowing they would face other peoples, have to probably fight their way in. But the Lord said this to Joshua in verse 9, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And so now, in the face of all fears, wherever the source of that comes from, all the evils in the world, just our own internal stuff and fears that we have, what are you and I to do? What are you and I to do? We are to step out in faith because Jesus is always there and He calls us, come. You know, Peter often gets a bad rap for his spontaneity, doesn't he? And it did get him into trouble quite a few times. But it also is what helped him to be a zealous servant for the cause of Christ. Peter's faith is refreshing, I think. It's refreshing. He immediately responded. We see here that he immediately responded to the strong yet reassuring words of Jesus. He said, come, and Peter went. He asked and did something humanly impossible. He walked on the water by the power of the Lord. And isn't it often true? There's countless examples in the Bible as well that we're often asked to do the impossible, what seems humanly impossible. It defies human logic. You see, Peter didn't really fail. He didn't fail. But he did experience the struggle of faith. He experienced the struggle of faith, and so will we. But in the midst of that, will you step out anyway? Will you call out? Respond to Jesus' words, come? Most of us typically could use some of Peter's spontaneity, not a reckless blind faith, but born out of an inner conviction and a profound trust in Jesus. Someone has illustrated the Christian life in this way, saying there are three kinds of Christians. Rowboat Christians, that is, they have to kind of be pushed wherever they go. Sailboat Christians, always kind of go with the wind. I mean, within the life of the church even, just kind of follow the crowd, go with whatever others are doing. And there's steamboat Christians. They make up their minds where they ought to go. They have this inner conviction, and they go there regardless of wind or weather. And I think this story about Peter is inviting us to be steamboat Christians. Take a courageous step of faith. Deal with that personal sin or habit, you know, in our lives. Step out in faith to make that job change or make a decision about a course of study as a college student if you're on the fence and can't figure that out. Step out in faith to pursue an area of service you have a burden for or think you even can't do, but God is really keeps putting that on your heart. Today in the congregational meeting, we will also draw names for elders and deacons. You know, each person who has let their name stand for nomination as an elder and deacon are taking a step of faith. Because I've never met anyone who feels that they're really adequate for the job, adequate for that kind of service. It's a step of faith. The step of faith to call a pastor, as we hope to do and plan to do. It's a major decision. Maybe today is the day to take that first step of faith to accept Jesus as your Savior and Lord. He's saying to each one of us, whatever those circumstances, don't be afraid. It is I. Come. come. So let's step out. Be people who step out and live for Jesus. That courage comes from faith in the Lord Jesus and the conviction of his powerful presence. And if we start to sink at any time, it's not failure. It's a struggle of faith. And remember, Jesus is there. Look to him again and say, Lord, save me. Three words, Lord, save me. And just like with Peter, Jesus reaches out and he picks us up, puts us on our way again with him. Just because we start to sing doesn't mean that we shouldn't have taken that step of faith. Doesn't mean we shouldn't have taken that direction. Doesn't mean we should give up. It is just realizing that we do get weak at times, that we are always in need of the help and power of Jesus. Failure and fear are not bad words. It's just a sign that we are imperfect people. Haven't you experienced, no doubt, just like I have, that's in those weak times in our lives when God seems to really show up. There are opportunities for Jesus' power to be displayed all the more. When we take steps of faith like Peter, it seems things just happen, that God wants to happen. God's power comes alive in our lives in ways we hadn't imagined. Things happen. There are good things that we hadn't even imagined. And so as we continue in faith, and as those things happen in our lives, as we take those steps of faith, there can really only be one response. Just like the disciples in that boat, they were filled with awe and worshiped the Son of God. We've been here in worship today. Let's continue in worship here around this table and in our daily lives. Step out in faith. Amen. Will you turn with me to our Lord as we bring our needs and concerns before him? O Lord our God, we are humbled to know that you care deeply about us, and you have saved us, that you have saved us, and you desire to work in and through us, that we would be your servants in this lost world. This world of darkness and fear. So take us, Father, use us. Help us to be those light bearers for you. Help us to be those who forgive in the face of slander and who love in the presence of hate. Help us to be those who continue that walk of faith, confident in your sanctifying work in us. Confident in the work of enabling us to obey you and to live for you. Lord, thank you for this story. Let it work in our hearts in the coming week. Lord, we have many needs and concerns and joys to bring before you. We remember them all, dear Lord. Especially in our hearts this morning, Lord, is the sad news of Tim Rootman and losing his sister Carrie. So we pray for Tim and Nikki and Sophia and Tim's entire family as we mourn her loss at such a young age. Bless their family, their children that they have. Oh Lord, our heart goes out to them, and may they know your comfort and love for them. Lord, we continue to remember those who have been dealing with cancer. Some have made great progress. We thank you for that, Eileen and LaVon, and we continue to pray for Tim Rootman's dad, Gary, as he continues on in treatment. Pray for Dennis's friend, Phil Kennedy. Lord, may you help them through this time. Give them strength through treatments. And Lord, we thank you for the progress that each of these or any of these have made. We pray for others, Lord, who are struggling with various kinds of illness. Mike Vanderwald, Sonny Zambrano. Thank you for Drew's progress. May you continue to strengthen and empower his legs. Thank you that Luke is doing well. Continue to grant him healing. We remember those who are in the latter years of life who struggle with physical illnesses and weaknesses often. We pray for Don and Catherine. Lord, may you sustain them day by day. May they never feel alone. They always feel your loving presence. Lord, we thank you for the joys that we've heard of too. We are thankful for the new life of Timothy Isaac, born to Jennifer and Chris Williams. We are also express joy for Amanda and Brian Springer's wedding a week ago Saturday. Just pray you bless them and their marriage. We rejoice with the Wilsons and grandson Caleb that was born. Father, we ask also that as a church, you would lead and guide us, that we would feel your leading. We're just so thankful for your work of grace in our lives, for the gifts here. Bless us as we are calling a pastor and give us wisdom and guidance in the congregational meeting. Bless us with good fellowship tonight. We pray for all those involved in preparing for a new season of the church year coming up in the fall. And we pray that you would guide the elders and deacons in their work among us as leaders, part-time staff, and other leaders. We ask, oh God, that you would bless the youth group as a number of them are going to serve to South Dakota. May you bless that time. Lord, help them to grow in their faith and their love and service to you, Lord, and use them to touch people's lives as they work and witness there. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness in our lives. Help us to turn to you to be our guide, to trust your powerful presence among us. Lord, we pray for a good rest and relaxation this summer and protection and travels. Many take that opportunity during the summertime. Lord, we give you thanks and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to turn now to time of sharing in communion together as part of our service today. Excuse me just a moment. As we come to this time, talk with the elders about just doing a little bit different today. I understand it's been done before here, but just to be able to give communion an extra focus, help us think about it just a little bit more. And so when it gets time to actually receiving the communion, I'm going to give instruction that time to make it go smoothly, to have you come forward to receive it. And for those who can't or wish to stay in their seats during this time, that's fine. That's perfectly fine. I know I'm asking to maybe stretch your comfort zone a little bit. And so if you wish to remain in your seat, there'll be an elder who is going around with the trays to be able to serve you there as well. And I'll give a little more specific instructions when we get to that time. As we come to this time, we certainly give thanks to God that our Savior, Jesus Christ, before he suffered, gave us this memorial of his sacrifice until he comes again. At his Last Supper, our Lord Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood." Do this in remembrance of me. For whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let us unite ourselves around common faith as we use the words of the Apostles' Creed. Please join me. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Coming to this table is once again a step of faith, or a reaffirmation of faith. It's a demonstration of saying, in the midst of all your hurts and sins, O Lord, save me. O Lord, save me. Because in this supper, God declares to us that our sins have been completely forgiven through the one sacrifice of Jesus Christ, by his body and by his shed blood. And he finished that work on the cross for you and for me. The image of the bread, the loaf, and the cup as a symbol of the blood shed are powerful images. I read just a couple of verses to give us a little fuller picture of these images and these symbols. From John chapter 6, as Jesus said and challenged the religious leaders there, but he said, "Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." In verse 33, "For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." And then in regards to the image of the cup with as blood, from Hebrews chapter 9, it's in a section referring to the Old Testament and the blood shed through goats and sheep and calves and so forth as covering over our sin. And then it says in reference to Jesus, "He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his blood, his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption." In verse 14, "How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God." And so, friends, we come to this table. The invitation is for all who are truly sorry for your sins, who believe in the Lord Jesus as your Savior and Lord, that you have confessed his name and desire to live in obedience to him. Come eagerly and joyfully then, with that assurance of faith, for Christ our risen Lord invites you and me as guests to fellowship with him at this table. Let's join in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the gift of your only Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for his willing obedience and suffering during his life on earth, and especially for his giving up willingly of his body and blood on the cross. So as we come to take of this bread and this cup, give us full assurance of faith, a thankful spirit, wills dedicated to you and to your service. And so let this meal fill us up to overflowing with your grace and power. Amen. So in coming forward for communion, the praise team is going to be leading us in song. The songs that are up there to sing, please join as you're able to sing along. There'll be times where perhaps just maybe the praise team is singing or the piano is just playing. And just use that time to reflect on what our Lord has done for us and the gratitude you have. To help this go as smoothly as possible, there's going to be sets of two elders. I'll be part of one of the teams over off to the sides here. We'll start with the side wings. Start in the front. Come forward. And they're simply going to say the body of Christ for you, the blood of Christ for you. So you take the bread, take the cup, and take it right there, and circle back around and come back to your seat. Okay? So we're doing a circular motion. And then as the last of the side come, then we'll start front here, come to the center, and then loop back around as best as possible. For those of you who can't or wish to stay in your seat, an elder will get around to you as well. We understand some of you parents with small children, it might be difficult, but we want to make this as smooth as possible. And so, congregation, here now are the gifts of God for the people of God. That's actually probably a good idea of praise team. Maybe you want to take first. Blood of Christ shed for you. Mike, the blood of Christ shed for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. Christ's blood shed for you. Jenny, Christ's blood shed for you. Christ shed for you. Bob, the blood of Christ shed for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. Terry, the blood of Christ shed for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. Paige, the blood of Christ shed for you. Carlin, the blood of Christ shed for you. Blood of Christ shed for you. Stand, the blood of Christ shed for you. 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 Christ shed for you. How on the blood of Christ shed for you. Sharon, the blood of Christ shed for you. Carl, the blood of Christ shed for you. Lisa, the blood of Christ shed for you. Justin, the blood of Christ shed for you. Joan, the blood of Christ shed for you. Blood of Christ shed for you, Don. Blood of Christ shed for you. I can scoot down a little bit, perhaps. Blood of Christ shed for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. Glory, the blood of Christ shed for you. Blood of Christ shed for you. My name, the blood of Christ shed for you. Mike, the blood of Christ shed for you. Blood of Christ shed for you. God, the blood of Christ shed for you. Blood of Christ shed for you. The blood of Christ shed for you.
Congregational meeting. Let's pray. Oh Lord God, we thank you that for the opportunity again to be here. Thank you for feeding us in this sacrament. May it truly nourish our spirits, enliven our souls to continue on in service in your name. We thank you for the reminder that it gives us of the foretaste of that heavenly banquet in your eternal kingdom. So send us out now in the power of your Spirit to live and to work to the praise and glory of your name. We receive your blessing in these words. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Be strong, for the Lord your God is with you. Be bold, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you. I am not afraid, I am not dismayed, because I'm walking in the faith and victory. Come on and walk in the faith and victory, for the Lord your God is with you. Strong, for the Lord your God is with you. Be bold, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you. I am not afraid, I am not dismayed, because I'm walking in the faith and victory. Come on and walk in the faith and victory, for the Lord your God